And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
At least this time we both actually know what the hell we're talking about, which is rare.
Allegedly.
Well, a conversational podcast is always best.
Yeah, we always like to keep it loose and conversational. We don't like having pre-scripted questions, or sometimes I like to not even let the other hosts know what we're going to talk about that week.
And be like, yeah, surprise. That's not so much for fun, though. That's more because he doesn't give a shit about us.
I actively hate my co-hosts. Yeah, we're a very casual show. So feel free to say what you want.
I've listened to a few of them.
You poor bastard.
Oh, so you know what you're getting into. That always makes it easier for us.
That's good.
Yeah, most of the people who do listen to us who have professed to be fans like that we have you guys on. And yeah, we'll talk about the game a little bit, but we tend to veer off into country that isn't as explored with most interview shows. Mm. It's more of a, you know, we'll talk about the game and then we'll be like, so, you know, what the hell else do you do?
How many kangaroos have you shot?
Hey, save that for the
I don't have a gun.
Oh, yeah, it's not America. Not everybody owns a gun.
Kangaroos were in America, they'd be extinct. It's just that easy.
No, I think humans would be extinct. The kangaroos would be shooting us.
Not as bad as the
pretty good boxes, apparently.
Better than Ronda Rousey. Oh.
You went there.
All right, Pappy, are you still trying out the demo over there?
No, I dude, it's so loud I couldn't hear anything over it. I mean, I watched the video and I read up on it, so I'm more looking at the fact that my can of Monster here has an Instagram.
What?
Yeah.
Why does Monster have an Instagram page?
They have a Facebook, a Twitter, a YouTube, and an Instagram.
Like, I can understand. Why Instagram? Selfies with a Monster can?
Pictures of people drinking Monster. That's
awesome. We need an SML Instagram. Just pictures of people, like, about to hang themselves as they're listening to our show.
Damn. Wow. That's almost as dark as my Thanksgiving movie feast.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Have we started yet?
Yeah, it sounded like we already started.
It's been recording, but I don't know where I'm going to have it start. But
this will be the outtakes.
That was the intro.
The 3-minute long intro. But what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy, the sad Eagles fan.
Yeah, the depressed Eagles fan.
Dude, Happy Thanksgiving.
Dude, twice in a week they got their asses kicked by teams they really should have beat. It's not like they're close games that the Eagles like had a chance and, you know, it was kind of close and they just blew it in the end. It's like they did good for 6 minutes and then gave up for the rest of the game.
Well, what's worse is 4 weeks ago Detroit didn't have a win.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Pappy.
At least Dallas is losing. All right, anyhow.
Anyway, episode 141 of the SML podcast. Special guest calling in today on Thanksgiving. See, we are going the extra mile for our listeners. See how I'm working in the studio name there? Mr. Robert Jacob is here from Extra Mile Games down in Australia land. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good morning or good night.
It's 5 o'clock. It's late
good afternoon,
early evening.
2 o'clock.
Pappy,
you know where your children are.
Pappy's mid afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Pappy'd be at the perfect time to start drinking if he was still a drinker due to the Eagles' wonderful game today.
Oh God, I'm glad I gave up drinking. I would be broke right now.
So tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and why you're on our show.
All right. So my name is Robert, and I have been working a little bit with video games here and there, and one day I got the idea of creating my own video game, and the rest is history, as they say. But we brought the team together to try and create something new in the beat 'em up genre, which we haven't seen really before. The genre is a bit stagnant, and we think there's fans still out there looking for something to something new to play. And you know, it has its the genre has its issues with the you know repetitiveness and length. So. Yeah, we hope we've addressed that.
It's like they took the games from the Genesis era and then just remade them, but didn't really think, you know, it's not the 80s anymore. Maybe we should put more meat into the game.
That's right. There's most of the games are fairly simple. You go from left to right and a bunch of levels, and all you do is fight over and over. And, 1 hour later, it's all over. So I'm guessing that's why the genre kind of started to die off. unlike the other other game genres, there wasn't much new stuff coming in.
Yeah, it's a bummer to see how the beat 'em up genre has just kind of stagnated over the years.
You know, when you talk to people about it, the most popular ones are still like Double Dragon and River City Rumble, which
River City you know, Ransom. River City Rumble
Ransom,
is a movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
Made by our friends at the former X-Strike studio.
Subconscious slip of the tongue. I mean, when I think about it, the only one I can even think of that actually brought anything fresh to the genre was Scott Pilgrim. And that's, what, 4 years old now?
I think a little older than that, even.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's back in the day, man, that was one of the most fun, most common genres, you know, back in Nintendo days and stuff. And now,
yeah, there were coin crunches in the arcade. And back when games were, you know, short and didn't have that much content, not like they are now, then that was really appealing. They were instant pick up and play games, but... The gaming scene has changed very much since then.
Yeah, although 25 years later, I still haven't gotten past level 2 of Kung Fu on the NES.
That's because you don't know how to play video games.
I don't know how to video game.
Seriously, well, Kung Fu is weird because the first stage, they throw the rules out the window and you have to walk to the left. So already people get confused.
I don't even know how to walk to the left in the real world. Constantly just turning right until I get there.
I'm not even going to debate that because I believe you when you say it. Yeah, but the beat 'em up genre, I mean, we've had some good games come out lately. Not many, to be honest. And of course, easily the biggest and best one to come out recently was Double Dragon Neon.
But even that was just a remastered, kind of reimagined version of a game everyone already knew.
Yeah, it had a lot of new content to it, but it was still a fairly straightforward, you know, beat everyone up, move on to the next area, beat everyone up, move on to the next area. And it, of course, had one of the greatest soundtracks in the history of ever, thanks to Mr. Jake Kaufman.
We're not just saying that because we know the guy.
Yeah, it's very true how good that soundtrack really is. But tell us.
I could give a slight backstory of how the whole thing happened.
Oh, please
basically,
do.
Basically, one Christmas day, my brother and I were playing through a said beat 'em up, and we thought, oh, you know, we missed this game. Why didn't never get a sequel? And we thought, you know, why is this genre pretty much, you know, if it's not dead, it's on its, you know, deathbed. And after playing for, you know, 45 minutes or so, the thought, oh, you know, it's starting to get a bit repetitive. And what could be done to make it more interesting? So we thought, well, you know, things you can't do is move around wherever you want. You're forced to move from left to right. And you can't enter buildings. You can't level up. You can't unlock new moves in many of them. And there's no real story apart from, you know, someone either gets kidnapped or something like that.
Girlfriend gets punched in the face at the beginning of the game, and then you rescue
and taken
her
away, yeah.
At the end of the game. Story.
So we thought, well, it can't be that the, you know, the fighting's repetitive, because if you look at a game like Super Metroid or, you know, Castlevania, the combat's quite simple. You can only shoot, or you can only, you know, attack with your whip. So we thought, well, the beat 'em up's got much more complex moveset than that. So the combat's not the problem. There's just too much of it, and there's not enough variation. So if we throw in some RPG elements and some other different gameplay tropes, then, you know, we can make the game much more interesting. So that's when the decision was, you know, let's take elements from a Metroidvania, take some elements from first-person shooters where you can, you know, store weapons, and let's all mash that together and create something completely different.
So, and that right there is kind of like a great idea, you know, being able to store weapons. Because, you know, oh, hey, look, I found a barrel, and it's a one-hit kill. Now I have to walk around with this barrel over my head for the rest of the level.
Yeah, that's right.
Just going to carry this thing. Hey, player two, you beat everyone up because I'm too busy carrying this flaming barrel that when I throw is going to explode.
Yeah, and we need that for the boss, so I'm useless.
Yeah, that's right.
as long as I carry it, it's not going to explode. It's only when it comes in contact with the ground.
Yeah.
So
I have to save it for when we need it. And until then, I can't do anything other than jump.
That's right. You got to play protector.
So I guess you went with the mantra, if no one else could do it, might as well just do it ourselves.
That's right. It's like, well, there's no, this game doesn't exist. So is it a viable concept, and should I give it a chance and try and actually put it together, because the idea seems sound. So we spent about 6 months prototyping something, and I thought the idea seemed to work. So yeah, we got straight into it, and then there was a lot of issues along the way, and we just had to deal with them as they come. And, you know, game development is always much more difficult than you think it is.
That's a common theme that we hear from people we talk to, is it's not as easy as most people would think. There's actually work that goes into making a game. Go figure.
Bullshit.
That's right.
You just put a couple of sprites on there, hit enter and go, right?
Just drag and drop.
I thought it would be quite difficult, but I was not. I try and be a realist, but it was actually about 1,000 times more difficult than that. So,
damn.
So someone who thinks it's easy should probably think it's more difficult by 10,000 times.
Yeah, development is easy, fuck you.
Joe and I have a friend who's been developing an 8-bit style RPG for about 4 years now. So
something crazy like that.
Yeah. It's if you want to refine it to a professional state, there's if you're doing an iPhone game, then you know, those ones, those free ones and some of the 99-cent ones, then sure, you can get away with half a year development. But if you're trying to do something console quality, then the amount of you know, changes and constant reiterations is pretty difficult, and it definitely, I mean, I always respected game devs, but when you jump in and become one yourself and you just see how actually difficult it is, then your respect for even games that people slam goes up a lot. Because a lot of work goes even into the, you know, crappiest console title.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that on episode 140, which is out now for those listening.
We commented how, you know, you got to look for the good in games because someone spent a lot of time in it.
A game came out recently for the Xbox One and the PS4 called Yasai Ninja, and the game pretty universally was just shat on by reviewers everywhere. And the team behind it actually put out an update. They did a lot of work on it, and they let us give the game a try. We never played the original version, but while we still saw some issues in it, we still tried to focus on the good of the game, still acknowledge the bad, but be honest and fair with it. And it felt great because the developer wrote to our show thanking us for being honest about the game instead of just, this game sucks, 2 out of 10.
Yeah, it's
IGN.com
seem to do it. It's easy to dismiss something as you know, for its faults, but it's something, I guess, impossible for people to know unless they actually try it, how much work is needed to get a functioning game, and nobody sets out intentionally to make something that, you know, will get critically panned or commercially panned.
I don't know. I think Activision does.
Possibly. Well,
yeah, I think Activision, they just sit down like, what game can we ruin today? Guitar Hero?
I don't even think it's that. I think it's, you know, it's really hard to achieve your vision when the boss is a coke fiend. I think the people who make and you know, program those games still care about it. You know, I know it's when you get out of the independent studio, yeah, the team may care a little less, but from what I've heard and those few people I've talked to, that tends not to be, you know, they would never claim that, oh yeah, I'm just paid by a big company to make this game, I don't give a shit. They tend to still care.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, but yeah. Now you have a hierarchy. You know, now you have, you know, bosses who are like, hey, just do this. We have to meet it by this date.
Yeah.
You know, with an independent developer, they have that option a lot of times, like, hey, I need more time. I'm gonna stagger my release, or I'm gonna pull back and maybe, you know, I was gonna make an announcement next month, maybe I'm just gonna do 6 more months of working on it, you know.
So yeah, there's time a lot is the of biggest factor for sure.
I think I just realized, have we actually mentioned the name of the game yet, Joe?
I've been trying so hard to, like, work our way to mentioning the name of the game, but we just keep getting distracted.
By the actual game.
I failed to promote my own game. Yeah. Awesome.
So you made the decision that you were going to create your own title, which led you to the decision of a title.
Right. And the title is... Night City Assault.
Yay!
Joe did sit down and played the demo that you sent. Unfortunately, I decided to install it as we were recording. I sent him the demo
what, like Monday or Tuesday? I'm like, Pappy,
Tuesday.
We're going to be doing Tuesday. An interview later this week. If you're going to be doing it with me, install this demo and, you know, sit down and play it. It's not that long. It's more like a proof of concept than a full-on demo. But it's really cool, really fun. You should be able to install it and play it pretty quick. And then I asked him when he jumped on Skype, so did you play that demo yet? And he said,
What demo?
And I'm like,
that's dedication.
Check the email, you dumb son of a bitch. And he's like, oh, that demo.
Oh yeah, if I just scroll down past the name of the game, there's a link there. How about that? But I did watch the video, and I mean, it does look it. One, I'll say, I mean, you guys are definitely spending time on the art. The artwork looks really nice, a lot more polished than you would, you know, like you said, beat 'em ups are kind of a dying genre, and so it looks nice. And, you know, and there's definite evidence of a story there, which is nice. Other than, you know, the princess is in another level.
Yeah, well, we thought we'd set it in the 80s. It's a cool era. Reminds me of my childhood. And
yay, 80s kids.
Let's make an 80s movie action style, and let's put in some twists and turns in the story and try and make it interesting and cheesy at the same time.
I was going to say, I really appreciated the hokey 80s feel to the dialogue in the game. What have you done with my partner?
Shut no up, greases. Pig. We're actually representing the era with hunks.
So there
every
be
80s
no
movie seems to have greases in it.
Well, you did have, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw some punks with mohawks, though.
Yeah, yeah. We're trying to represent the actual period.
Straight 80s, punks with mohawks.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't get more 80s than that.
Word for the Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
Is that a good Thanksgiving movie?
Yeah, Warriors is a perfect Thanksgiving movie. It is a Warriors better holiday choice than Schindler's List. You did. Yeah, that's Pappy's plans for the night. He's going to watch Schindler's List for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then I was going to watch Grave of the Fireflies after that.
Is Solo after that sometime?
You know, World War II thing happening?
I have already seen Solo. I don't need to see that again. I succeeded in my watching 8 of the 10 most disgusting, disturbing movies of all time. The other two you can only get on VHS for like $100. So,
goddamn.
Yeah. Although a Serbian film, I keep forgetting. I actually have somebody who wants me to send it to them so they can watch it. So I will happily get rid of that. You know, a movie is disturbing when Netflix refuses to carry it.
Wow.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, you cannot get a Serbian film through any rental or digital media.
Don't they have the uncut version of Nymphomaniac on Netflix?
At no point in Nymphomaniac does a man take his erection and shove it into a man's eye socket.
No, but they do have full-on penetration in Nymphomaniac.
But it's in a sexual way, not in a violent, disturbing way.
True, I guess.
At no point, again, I mean, that's okay, I don't feel bad spoiling a Serbian film because no one should ever watch it.
So, Night City Assault.
It's, yes.
As we
also does violent, not have eyeball
violence
penetration.
That sexual.
Night City Assault does not have erections as weapons, does it?
Not yet. But there's a Kickstarter stretch goal where you can create your own weapons. So
I was looking at the stretch goals because you were nice enough to let me preview the Kickstarter page before it goes live, and I saw create your own weapon, and like in my mind I'm like, I wonder if anyone would pull a Saints Row and have you do like a giant dildo weapon, and then I'm thinking,
would it be purple?
I was going to say, would it be funnier if, to keep it more like T-rated than M-rated, if it was pixelated? Just a pixelated dildo weapon.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, so everyone knows what it is, but hey, I'm not showing it.
What is wrong with us?
Was that acceptable in the 80s? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't remember seeing anything like that in the 80s movie.
Yeah. I mean, but nowadays, movies in the 80s have stuff like that. But yeah, you're right. 80s themselves, I mean, shit, dude. It was even hard to find a breast in the 80s.
No, that was back when you could see boobs in PG movies because PG-13 didn't exist yet.
Yeah, well, you and I missed that edge, though, I feel.
Nah. I mean, look at Beetlejuice. That they said fucking Beetlejuice. And that's only PG.
That was PG-13.
Nope, PG.
Is it PG-13 now? And they went and backgraded it?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I think the only thing they've done is a lot of times they'll just re-edit it to remove that line, which is the greatest line in the movie, by the way, where it kicks over the tree and says, "Nice fucking model," and squeezes his nuts.
Well, because I remember I got to rent Doc Hollywood because it was only PG-13, and there were a lot of boobs in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with our show?
Video games.
It was a Tom Hanks 80s movie where where it was like American Pie style. I can't remember what its name was. Yeah, that's the one. It was like, wow, this is like the first really raunchy
comedy. Yeah, my parents were always big on like, it's okay to see nudity. It's less damaging to the psyche of a teenage boy to see nudity than to see, you know, intense violence. So I got to watch Porky's and stuff like that. And
bodies exploding.
Yeah. I got to watch Porky's when I was 15. I had to wait till I was 18 to watch some of the actual hard R stuff for violence.
Good time.
The Terminator was out.
Yeah, no, I think I was 18 before I got to see Terminator 2.
I think I was 12 when I saw Terminator, the first one.
Your parents didn't love you. They just gave you movies and video games.
I remember having a sleepover with a friend. I crashed at his place. And for some fucked up reason, we watched Basic Instinct. And I think we were like 11.
You didn't even know what the fuck was going on.
No clue. We thought it was like a horror movie. And whoa, did we see some crazy shit.
crazy slit. Ah.
Wah, wah.
All right. So anyhow,
City Assault is a video game coming.
Now, what?
It's an 80s movie.
My big question of the day is, why did you decide to go back to Kickstarter?
Well, we took the criticism of the original one on board. And there were issues. Again, most of it was time, but there were some other issues with the art and whatnot that we really need to work around. So we decided, you know, we need to do the best we can to present a product which we think people will enjoy, and then use Kickstarter as a kind of gauge of interest. You know, is this a viable product? And you know, let's get them just to fund a small portion of it to remain independent. We actually received a interest from a publisher to fund the remainder, but as most indie game developers, we want to remain completely independent, so we don't you know, have anyone telling us what we should or shouldn't be doing. So yeah, we need that remaining amount to complete the game. We've invested already heavily, more than double that amount. So if people can help us out, complete the game, then we won't have to look for alternative sources, and we can remain fully independent. Which
you won't
would be
need to sell
great.
Your body on the corner, basically.
No, not yet.
Yeah, no, that's I like that. And I like that. You know, these websites like Kickstarter and GoFundMe and stuff been around long enough that we've taken away what. You know, originally there was a little bit of a, if you had a Kickstarter that failed or you shut down yourself for any reason, it kind of had that, oh, well, they screwed up, but, you know, they can't be trusted kind of mentality, you know. And now that's pretty much gone, I feel, you know, now, because enough things have gone through alternate funding more than once, you know, like that Pixel Noir, you know.
Yeah, we had friends who tried.
Exactly who we used as our reference for whether to try again or not.
Oh, really? Yeah. You guys are familiar with Pixel Noir?
Yeah, we backed them the first time, actually.
That is awesome to hear. Yeah, Pixel Noir, Kunal, and Len are very close friends of ours. And
oh, wow.
Their project manager, Tim, was actually one of the first co-hosts on this show.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
wow, small world.
Yeah. So
who
we...
the fuck's Tim?
Some guy. He left. Tim got involved with Pixel Noir because Kunal came up to our area to record a show with us. And Tim mentioned that he's looking to do some kind of like project management role or get involved with gaming in some way. And Tim ended up getting together with Kunal and became project manager. He's been hands-on with everything, and he was there when the first Kickstarter went and came up drastically short, and they just worked their ass off for another year, got it going again, and they successfully funded Pixel Noir. So it's good to see that people, after having a bad turn on Kickstarter, aren't just giving up. And I think it's awesome that you guys are using Pixel Noir as inspiration to give it another shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they showed that, you know, it's either bad timing or, you know, you're just not ready, really, and you need to get it up to a level where people will appreciate it more. And I think the fact that Pixel Noir had a demo available was a huge, you know,
yeah,
huge thing, which really appeals to people. And if you set your initial goal too high, then, you know, and your product's not ready, then people just don't show that interest. Another problem, massive problem we had was since we were working on so many features of the game, trying to get everything in there, the actual game itself didn't, you know, we didn't have a vertical slice that actually looked good because we were working on every feature. So we didn't have many assets to show off, and that really, really hurt the marketing, and we did not have a community at all. Since then, that's been working, you know, our asses off on social media to build a community and have, you know, people prepared to jump on the Kickstarter as soon as it launches. You really need that initial push, and I think a demo also is something that's really appealing. So
yeah, tell us a bit about the demo that you do have for people to play. I played it myself. It was on the short side, but again, it's just basically a check out what our game is like. I thought it was great. I thought the voice acting was perfectly hokey and goofy for 80s. I thought the animation was stupidly fluid for a beat-em-up. The music was fun. The writing is just so goofy and weird, and I thought it was a blast to play, and I was just sad that it ended.
Well, yeah, thanks very much first, but we've given out the demo to a few of the press, and that's been the reaction, you know, that it was too short. I played it again. So we think that's great feedback, you know, if you want to play more. So I think this time around we got things much more right than we did before. And really glad you like it. And we did decide to do just a small piece to just give people a taste. And we noticed, you know, the bigger we made it, the more issues became apparent. And you want to keep a small section that's pretty close to the final product. I mean, there's still a whole lot of issues we'd love to fix, but
given just the tip, right? Just a little bit of tip slide in there.
I mean, you don't want people to be bored because you haven't got all your scenarios in. What we could have done is just thrown wave of people at you to beat up, but we're trying to show that, you know, it's not that kind of game.
It's just wave after wave of enemies. There's actually shit to do.
That's right. The mission you get in the demo is very simple, but they'll actually be, you know, more interesting and challenging multi-tiered missions where, you know, maybe you need to find someone and one example, there'll be a level where there's elevators in a corporate building, 80s style, and there'll be an elevator that is broken and you can't move up to the level you need to go, and you'll save a guy fixing the elevator, and he's missing his tools, and he can fix the elevator for you if you can find the tools for him, but the tools are, you know, stolen by the gang in the area, so you have to find the gang and, you know, beat them up, bring the tools back, then you can actually proceed. So, you know, that type of stuff.
I fully admit that I like the sound of having fetch quests in a beat 'em up.
So, yeah, since it's 80s style, are you legally allowed to call it Nakatomi Plaza?
We could give it a parody name. Tomi Naka Plaza.
There we go. Everyone would know exactly what's going on.
You're an asshole, Pappy. You're such an asshole.
Well, I mean, you're a cop. It's the 80s style. You're in a corporate building. I mean, that's everything in Die Hard.
you're an asshole. Call it McLean Tower.
Nothing subtle there. Or just be allowed to duct tape a gun to the small of your back at some point.
And walk on glass.
Well, I don't recommend that for anybody.
Unless you're bored.
Really bored. If your options are watching Schindler's List alone on Thanksgiving or walking on glass, you should probably walk on glass.
They should use that as the quote on the DVD box.
I was less upset after walking on glass than I was after watching this movie.
I want to somehow see that line in the final release of Night City Assault. It's like, I'd rather watch Schindler's List on Thanksgiving than help you.
Yeah, wow, that's
and isn't Schindler's List like a movie from the early 90s, so the time paradox there would be even crazier?
Time paradox.
We can have a black and white section to match the movie.
Your cop is out, you know, highlighted in red.
Oh, what is wrong with us?
So yeah. Anyhow, I like that too. And you're also extending, you know, the gameplay a little bit by actually having, like you said, more than just walk left to right, get to the boss, beat up the boss, go to the next level. You know, now I have to explore this area. Now I have a reason to kind of give a shit about the area, as opposed to, this area only exists for me to get to the next boss.
Yeah, that's right. You'll have multiple pathways on the level, and you know, if you hit the map screen, you'll get a familiar Metroidvania style looking map, which tracks your progress. So you can there's actual exploration, and you can enter and exit buildings and things like that.
So I'm guessing this will be like a giant open world city instead of just stage one, do a map, stage two, do a map.
It'll be maps cut into stages. So each map will have a theme, and then you'll be able to complete that level and select the next one and go back. A similar game that did it, I don't know if you've ever played, was Castlevania Order of Ecclesia. That was, it had multiple Metroidvania-style maps in separate levels where you can return to.
Which one was that? Was that for the DS?
DS. Yeah, last one on the DS. Yeah,
the DS ones were so good. I think we have Pappy back now. He dropped out for a second.
Yeah, because Skype.
Your Skype.
This is watching Schindler's List.
I'm looking at all of the terrible Black Friday deals the Groupon keeps emailing me. I can get a Prada leather tote bag for $1,500. That's $800 off.
And why are you talking to us instead of ordering that? You need to get your shit together, Pappy. There's priorities in life, and a Prada bag $800 off is the priority you should be focusing on, you stupid asshole.
Yeah, but it
doesn't
match anything I own, man. Like, it would just clash.
Bitch, Jesus Christ.
It's so cheap, you should buy two.
Yeah. Christmas is coming, Pappy. You know, your best friend is on a podcast with you.
You're not getting a Prada bag either.
Dick.
Maybe it should be a stretch goal.
I can order you
$1,500.
Yeah,
I will send you 4 Apple Lightning cables.
Cool. I just want to see that on a Kickstarter's stretch goal page. Like, if we hit 50,000, we're going to create the Xbox One version. If we hit 52,000, we're going to do the Xbox One version, and I'm going to buy myself a Prada bag.
Prada bag.
You get nothing for that, but I'll have a Prada bag.
Joe, I will send you a 3-pack of fur leggings if you promise to wear them.
Jeggings?
Leggings, like straight up tight tights.
Where am I going to wear them? MAGFest?
Fuck it, why not?
If you find one that fits me, you know my sense of shame is gone. I'm in my 30s, yeah. I'm married, I have 5 cats, I really don't give a shit about anything anymore.
Yeah, and
so you were going to say 5 kids.
No, thank God no, Jesus.
He fortunately married a woman who shares his insight on children.
And love of cats?
Instead, I have a cat who jumps up on my fucking desk while I'm trying to record a podcast and, like, lays out on the desk, starts playing with shit on the desk. Like,
potato?
Yeah, of course, potato. Goddamn potato. Just shoving everything all over. Oh, because I have a Coke cap on my desk. Really? Fuck you. Here, take the goddamn... Go. Goddamn.
Yeah, my pet cactus never fucks with me when I'm recording.
Video games. So this is your second shot at the Kickstarter. What did you learn from the first time around that you were changing this time around?
So, first of all, You'll want to work on a small section of your title, make it look very polished. I guess we had a tendency, like many people, to want to show everything, all the features. So in the first one, we worked on everything. We had nearly all the features of the game were actually working in the first. First Kickstarter we did, so that was not a good idea. It's better to try and polish up one small piece and get it out there. I definitely recommend doing a demo, and even if it's small, but make sure it's super polished. Get on social media real early, interact with other devs. There's lots of opportunity out there. Try and get criticism early so you can change direction. Our Kickstarter helped us, I think, move in the right direction. We got great feedback on what should be fixed. So we spent the next, 6 months or so, just polishing everything and getting constant feedback on what should be improved. And, you know, make your goal realistic, but try and fund as much of it yourself if possible.
What's the goal that you guys have set for this?
$19,000. So right. I think it's quite modest, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, for a video game, that's very modest, especially when you're seeing all the big names jumping on the Kickstarter, like, oh, hey, I want to release a game. I just need $1 million US. And then they get 2 million.
And then they cancel it.
And the thing people don't realize is those games, that $2 million often does not pay for the game to be made, there's usually a publisher behind it that says we'll offer the same amount or, you know, double that amount if that interest on Kickstarter is shown. So I guess that's the thing that, you know, people don't realize how expensive it actually is.
Well, speaking of that, since I haven't seen the new Kickstarter page, do you have the pie chart on that one as well, where it shows what's going where?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same since nothing's really changed.
Because that's something I'd never seen on Kickstarter, was someone acknowledging taxes. you know, 14% of whatever you make has to immediately go and pay taxes.
That's right. And on top of that, the lovely Australian government will tax the Kickstarter as well. So Kickstarter takes a cut, Amazon takes a cut, and the Australian government takes a cut too.
So after somebody makes a $15 donation, you get 43 cents towards your game.
Yep.
That's crazy, though. I keep forgetting how, you know, over here I tend to be more liberal leaning. So, you know, I hear a lot of complaints about how, you know, how bad we are with gun control and medical and all of that stuff. But I'd say the one thing we're good at is not being ridiculous like the Australian government when it comes to taxing all forms of entertainment out the nose. Because if you can't get a game, you got to import it. And that's like it's like $80, like right off the bat, right?
Well, buying games overseas is actually cheaper than locally, which is insane.
Yeah, you're doing something
when our dollar is high.
When
our dollar was high at one point, around $1.10 to a US dollar, then man, everybody was importing PS3 and region free Xbox 360 games. They were almost half the price what we have to pay.
Jesus,
insane taxes.
What blows my mind is they haven't figured that out yet. Like, hey, we're actually losing money by taxing this much. If we drop the tax to where it's competitive, we'll make more money in the long run because people actually buy it at our stores.
Yeah, that's right, and help the local economy instead of buying overseas.
Helping the eBay economy.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with the U.S. stance on crowdfunding that, you know, it shouldn't be taxed. I don't think it's a form of income. It's just to complete a project. The money's going to be spent. So why are you taxing?
And we want you to succeed because we'll tax the finished product.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can tax the sales, but why are you taxing, you know, the development?
Yeah, that's actually kind of crazy that the Australian government is saying, we actually want money that's donated to you. Like, they're taxing donations is what they're doing with the Kickstarter.
Yeah, they claim it's not donations, that it's you're providing a product eventually, so therefore it's a sale.
Eventually, unless you're John Krasinski or whatever. John Kay, the guy who did Ren and Stimpy, I backed his Kickstarter campaign 3 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's vaporware. Oh, nice. It was going to be a 90-minute movie.
Damn.
And he admitted he already spent all of it.
Wow, what a dick.
Still working on the movie. Yeah, well, apparently I learned doing some online research that I should have known. Like, people are like, yeah, you honestly should have known, because that's why he Ren and Stimpy ended, because he never met deadlines and he was always fighting with the studio. And he's notorious for just being, I won't say lazy, but just failing at providing anything he promises people for whatever reason. And he's constantly getting distracted and working too slow. You know, part of it's being a perfectionist, and part of it is just not giving a shit about what.
Would you say about distraction? I'm watching the Panthers. They're about to get another.
Yay.
So it's 20-3. They have 16 seconds.
Yeah.
And,
so
wait, what? Distraction, huh?
Because years ago, I said, yeah, I'm only going to fund stuff on Kickstarter that I have faith in. You know, so the big stuff, like, you know, like, I have no problem backing a studio that's like, hey, we're done. We just need money for distribution, for polishing, this and that. No problem with that. You know, or stuff that, hey, we've already provided proof of concept. But I stopped backing stuff that seemed like, hey, we need your money to finish development and then do the thing, you know. Because I don't like my money to disappear. So with the John Kay thing, I'm like, hey, here's a guy. He's already proven. He's done Ren and Stimpy. You know, I love his animation. He's done, you know, he did a Weird Al music video. And it looks fun. So I backed it without a second thought. And now here I am 3 years later, like, huh, wonder what that would have been like if he'd actually gotten off his ass and done it.
So with Kickstarter's terms and conditions, isn't there a clause that they have to, out, or they get...
That's more recent, though. This was before they updated the
term. That was before that, yeah.
That was during the Wild West.
Backers know that.
Yeah, that was like the Wild West. Now. Like, what was the watch that was the most funded Kickstarter in history at the time with like $14 million? And it took like 3.5 years before they got the damn prototype out to people. So was that the Pebble watch?
I have no idea. I know the, what was it? The Ouya was a big bust in terms of Kickstarters.
Well, they delivered. They delivered exactly what
they
delivered
the product eventually.
Yeah, I just think the devs, the developers didn't really get on board with it. Like, no one saw it beyond, you know, hey, this is a good little machine to play all your old NES games on.
There were complaints about the controller, apparently, and there, apart from the actual people on Kickstarter, there weren't any follow-ups. Sales of the actual unit, not enough to
like. I've seen them in Target and I've seen them in Best Buy, and every time I would look at one at like what 130 or something, I'd be like, you know what, maybe one day.
Yeah. No, I mean, sorry, for what it does, if you already own a computer, you can play anything that the Ouya can play, you know.
Yeah, and most people got a PC, so
yeah, that's the problem, you know, that they didn't do anything to separate themselves from pre-existing technology.
To them, it was an Android console, so you could play games that you would normally just play on your smartphone. You could play it on TV with a controller.
But I'd rather play my Xbox games on my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it kind of had that, in between. It wasn't clearly defined what it was, and I guess many Android games don't have controller support, so they had to be patched in, and devs didn't want to do that. So there's many issues.
So speaking of platforms, what platforms are you aiming for with your game? I'm guessing automatically off the bat is going to be Steam.
Yep, PC, Mac, and Linux is default supported by the game engine we're using, Unity. Unity's great. Lets you port to other consoles quite easily, so our costs are fairly low. Microsoft was kind enough to send us some development kits after they saw the game. They thought it was something they want on their platform. So we've got Xbox One development kits, but we just need to cover porting costs there, which is pretty low. We're also registered PlayStation and Nintendo developers, so we can, if we've got the funding, we can release the game on pretty much every platform out there as requested, if we can afford it.
I'm guessing all that comes down to stretch goals being met.
Yeah, that's right. Each platform is a stretch goal, and we don't want delay the release of the game. So if a stretch goal is met and you choose, you want to change your PC version to a Xbox One, for example, that's fine. You just might have to wait a couple more months because we don't want to delay the game for PC users. But the porting process shouldn't take too long. Because the Unity engine's very, very good for that, and has some great tools.
You are definitely not the first developer to talk about how great the Unity engine has been for them. It's actually been pretty interesting.
It's got its teething issues, and we've had a lot of them, but every game engine has its problems, and writing one from scratch is usually not feasible. It's not at the indie level.
Yeah.
And the reason we chose it was, we think Night City Assault is a pretty much a console title. Of course, PC will be supported, but we want to get it out on consoles. So Unity seemed the perfect choice since it's got, you know, each development kit supports Unity, so there's no huge porting issues. And you know, if you want to go for console titles, it's probably the way to go. It's a free engine to start with, and yeah, I don't think there's much other choice apart from Unreal, which Unreal Engine is pretty good as well, but mostly for 3D, and we're working in 2D, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the main goal for the game, you're saying, is 19,000. What kind of stretch goal amounts are you looking at for the different console versions? I know you were able to convince us to bring you on because you said Xbox One is a fairly early stretch goal. What kind of numbers are in mind for Xbox, for PlayStation, Nintendo?
3 billion.
So Xbox One is actually the second stretch goal at 25,000. So it's not that much.
Very
more.
Reasonable. Very
yeah,
reasonable.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's thanks to Microsoft for sending us development kits. Really appreciate it. Just to give people an indication, the one development kit costs around $5,000.
Jesus.
And since that's something we didn't mention, our team actually is around the world and we collaborate over the internet. So our programmer is in the States. So we need two development kits, as I need to be able to play the game, and as does and so does he.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, you know, if you've got a team that actually meets together in an office or something like that, or at a house, you can get away with just the one kit, but we have to double up, unfortunately. So, but Microsoft sent us three.
Wow.
I don't know why three, but that's very nice of them.
Well, that means you could send one to us for us to play the game through development as well.
Yeah, we could. Let's do it.
I wouldn't waste a dev kit on us. We would just end up putting porn on it or something.
You'd create something new for Xbox Live.
So Xbox is sitting at 25.
Pornography.
Oh, God. Why do I keep having you on?
Useful.
Why do I keep bringing you on, Pappy?
Well, we've been trying to figure out how to reinvigorate Kinect technology. Thrust faster.
Press the A button.
That's the DLC for Night City Assault, is the Kinect sex game.
Oh, God.
It's a cold coffee add-on.
Oh, that's great.
The iced tea.
Yeah. Now, do you have stretch goals for pretty much every port, or are there some consoles or even handhelds that you're kind of like, I'm not going to do that unless I have to?
The only one we couldn't feasibly do is the 3DS, because it doesn't have proper Unity support and the really low resolution of the screen. But another issue with PlayStation Vita is that we would have to rework the graphics to fit the lower resolution of the screen. It's not an impossible task, but it would be quite a bit more work.
Yeah, it's low on the priority list.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big PS Vita fan myself. I've got two of them, actually. I don't know why.
I think you're a bigger fan of the Vita than Sony is.
Yeah. And I've purchased way too many titles for it, but I would love to see it on there. I just know that, you know, the market's not as big, and as I've heard people say, will this come on Vita? And you know, if there's enough demand and and the Kickstarter goes well, then we'll see. It's not an unlocked stretch goal, but it's definitely
it's an eventuality. If things go well, it could happen, but again, it's just low priority. What about the Wii U?
The Wii U is a possibility as well, but Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are first. I mean, if we suddenly start getting super overfunded, then I'll throw a Wii U up there. But
well, the main thing to us is that Xbox One is fairly high on the priority list.
Well, it also makes sense too, because that's
holy shit, you're loud. What the fuck?
The Xbox One and the PS4 are also going to open you up to the most potential buyers. You know,
seriously, Pappy, what the hell happened to your volume?
I don't know, man. Like, I basically let you call me back so I could say goodbye, because I don't know what's going on, but my Skype has just gone full retard.
Well, it matches the user, I guess. Seriously, but, like, hey, you just got super loud for no reason.
Yeah, no, I haven't touched any settings.
Well,
you're
better now, but it was like super crazy.
Listen to me. I have things to say.
Well, then say them.
No, that's what it was. That's okay. Why my mic just pumped up.
I'd be happy to put the game on any platform and just to cover our costs. You know, profit doesn't matter. But
the N-Gage.
Yeah, why not?
Tiger R-Zone.
I had an N-Gage. I admit it.
I want one so bad.
Have you asked John if he still has his N-Gage, Joe?
No.
Knowing him, he might still have it.
Maybe.
I had a game.com as well.
I have one of those on a shelf. We gave one away in a contest on our show.
Wow. So I imported it from the States. It didn't exist here.
Of all the things to import, you wasted your money on a goddamn GameCom.
I got conned by still images. I noticed the games actually ran like still images.
Don't forget Virtual Boy. You could put that as like a $100,000 stretch goal.
Oh my god. Wow. I would love someone to just make a new Virtual Boy game for no reason. Just hey, our stretch goal for the game is fucking Virtual Boy. Cartridge and all.
Indie game, yeah. I think, a few years ago, actually.
Yeah, and if you back it to the Virtual Boy level, we'll also send you a bottle of aspirin.
Oh, so Pappy, do you want to ask your favorite question before Skype drops you for like the ninth time?
Yeah, so I mean, you obviously been spending a lot of time working on, you know, cleaning and polishing the game. So when you're not working on your own game, what video games are you playing to kind of chill out and relax?
Right. Okay. Recently, I have to say I haven't played pretty much anything in the last few weeks, but the last game I played was what's it called? Danganronpa Ultra Despair Girls on PS Vita.
Danganronpa.
which is actually quite interesting.
I love the anime, but I haven't played any of the games.
That's a series I never really got into.
If you like the visual novel type of games, those games are very cool. And on PC, what was the last thing I played? The Transformers game, of course.
Devastation, the new one?
Devastation, yeah, by Platinum. Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I thought the stories was so-so and the backgrounds were pretty repetitive, but the actual fighting in it was great, and the robots look superb. I'm not sure why they didn't use all the music from the 80s cartoon, and you know, even the
seriously,
where
they don't even switch
the symbol around and stuff, you know, that they didn't have that. I just wondered why.
Yeah, it's like you're going for such an authentic game, but where's the fucking music?
This goes back to what we were talking about a while ago about games skimping on the sound and music, you know. Like
licensing issues, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But you did it for you. I mean, I'm assuming you got the licensing issues to have a fucking Transformers game. You think you would have just written into the contract, this also includes the sound, you know,
the theme song that everybody knows on the planet.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. Even the logo. Why wasn't the logo the '80s original? You know, you've got the cat. You're using those characters. Doesn't make sense to use those characters. Yeah.
And they even got many of the original voice actors as well.
Yeah, it was pretty strange.
Yeah, because even if you got the rights to the movie music, you know, you throw Dare to be Stupid into a level and you just tripled sales.
Yeah. Even the Lion theme song would have been cool from the movie.
You got the touch.
Oh, my God. That's still... it's still one of my favorite video game memories right there.
What, playing that in Rock Band?
No. When I was playing Saints Row 4, and I was having a really shitty day, and I got to the top of one of the towers, and as soon as I got to the tip top, that song came on the radio station that I was listening to in-game. So I get to the top, I'm overlooking the city in this, you got the touch. I'm just like, okay, I'm not having a shitty day now. That's just, you know, it's one of those little moments that you just can't help but smile.
Yeah, but his music was very inspirational.
I got the Stan Bush like best of because of that moment. I'm like, I need to listen to his shit more often. it's good stuff.
It's all very positive. It'll definitely brighten your day if you listen to Stan Bush.
And when you look at it, some of the stuff that he did that you didn't even realize, like, what was it? He did the theme for, was it Bloodsport?
Yeah, that was amazing.
You know, and you can't, yeah, and, like, what? Like, what the hell? Really? Like, you know, you can't help but laugh.
So who's doing the music for Night City Assault?
That would be me, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a musician at heart.
Kickboxer, I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt, but I want to correct myself. It was Kickboxer, not Bloodsport.
Shut up, not cares.
Not quite as good a movie, but also a good
still
movie.
Not something you would have realized.
Anyway, back to you, the important person on this show. So you're a musician.
Yeah, of course, a gamer from an early age, but also a musician from early age, and I played the guitar, bass guitar, and piano for many, many years, and I thought it'd be fun to try and do 80s electronica, so I gave it a shot.
Did you buy a guitar?
No. I bought a MIDI keyboard.
So just like duct tape it to your shoulder and use it as a keytar.
Yeah, I wonder if you can actually buy a new one of those anywhere or if they're all just used.
Someone's got to make keytars.
It would have to be red. Yeah.
Oh, boom. $700 Korg RK red keytar.
Oh, wow.
And it's red.
Yep.
Awesome.
Has to be red. Why wouldn't it be red?
And of course, Korg is putting out new keytars still. That's great.
So that's another stretch goal, is to buy Robert Jacob a keytar.
Nice red one. And then I just need to have super long hair and glamour rock style clothes, and I'll be set.
I'm always glad to hear that other people kept up with music. You said you played piano.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for a long time.
We had a rule in the family where we couldn't pick up any other instruments until we'd played piano for 6 years. And I always wanted to play sax, so when I was 11, I'd done my 6 years of piano. I picked up the saxophone, and like 3 days later, I couldn't even find home row on a piano.
You did your time on piano.
I literally was like, fuck it. This thing is stupid. I'm done. But I have tiny little hands, so it never would have worked out anyway.
Yeah, it's a very versatile instrument, especially with recording on computer. You can do anything with the keyboard, piano. You can play guitar, drums, whatever. So It's how I do all the compositions completely just using the piano style MIDI keyboard. It's really good fun.
So that explains why on the Kickstarter thing, you had the just 3% going to the music, and then you made the note like, the person doing all of the music is not taking a cut.
That's right.
Well, that explains why he's being so nice.
I'm not taking a dollar from this project, that's for sure. I'm spending money, not
you just want the thing to get made.
Yeah, but
it's the indie dream.
Yeah, but this is your first game, and I hope it goes well for you, because if it does, that's going to open up a lot of doors for you to make games in the future and actually, make money out of them.
yeah, it would be great. I love creating the game, and it would definitely be a dream to, be able to say to my boss one day, look, I'm sorry, but I've got a better job now.
Got a job you like more.
I'll be working for myself. So, hey,
good luck to you. And congrats. And I look forward to supporting the Kickstarter soon. But I'm going to jump out before Skype goes to shit for a third time and go eat some Thanksgiving turkey.
So, no problem.
Have fun getting fat, Pappy.
I'll have fun getting fatter.
And yeah, watching Schindler's List.
Great talking to you, Robert. And I'll let you guys finish off the interview here. Y'all take
sure.
care.
All right, go to hell,
nice
Pappy.
Nice to meet you, Pappy. So, all right.
Bye.
Take care of yourself. Wait.
Now that he's gone. So when are you planning to launch the Kickstarter?
Well, with all the American holidays, it's been tough to figure it out exact date. We're planning to launch a few days before Thanksgiving, but we weren't ready yet. And then now that Thanksgiving and Black Friday's out, probably a couple more days. Let's say 28th or 29th, hopefully.
All right, that sounds pretty good. You could always just say, like, we're aiming for early December.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough around this period. We definitely don't want to end it on Christmas Day or anywhere near that. And then you've got New Year's, so maybe in between, the ending date will be in between Christmas and New Year.
Kids could spend their Christmas money on your Kickstarter.
Yeah, if they haven't spent it all already. But I want to launch definitely still in November if possible. So hopefully in the next couple of days. And if people want to get notified, they can go to the website, extramilegames.com/game. That you can put your email in there and you'll get notified when it launches. Or you can jump on Twitter at extramilegames, and the announcement will, of course, be there as soon as it's live.
And we should point out that's at extra without the E. It's just the letter X-T-R-A. So extra.
That's correct. And
some
we'll
other game
also
company is getting a ton
Steam.
Of views right now.
We'll also be launching Steam simultaneously. So if you want to vote there, go for it. And yeah, as promised, there will be a small demo on launch. So if you want to have a play through that, please check out the Kickstarter page.
All right. And if anyone has trouble finding them, just keep your eyes peeled on our Twitter page, and we'll be retweeting anytime that the Kickstarter goes live. We'll make sure to send a tweet out so everyone can keep their eyes peeled for the Kickstarter to go live.
And we've got a testimonial from Joe himself, so...
Yes.
How's that for approval?
I wholeheartedly approve the game. I'm going to keep my eyes on it, and if my wife and I have the extra few bucks, I definitely want to try contributing and helping this game get made, because I had a blast with what little I got to play. My only desire is that the demo were a little bit longer. I think I played through it 3 times already.
Excellent. I'll take that criticism.
So I guess
I really appreciate it.
The only final thing to accomplish is we usually end our show with music. And since you're a musician, maybe we could use some of your songs for the game to play at the end of the show.
That would be perfect. I'll get something through to you.
Awesome. We usually play anywhere from like 3 to whatever you want to send us. It's basically, they don't all have to be from the game. Just send us music you've done. Just get your name and your music out there, and that's about it, I guess. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I just wanted to say thanks for the opportunity of being on this podcast. So appreciate it. And it's thanks to everybody on social media who's been very kind to us, and both the critics and the fans. And yeah, we're really excited about this Kickstarter. So please check it out and tell your friends.
Sounds good. All of us here at SML are pulling for you, and good luck on everything.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Been a pleasure to have you on. Do you have any final words to say to end our show?
Hey, put another shrimp on the barbie there, mate.
You are so racist.